You know what they say? When it rains, it pours. I'm sure many of you have heard that expression before. Maybe you've even said that before. That term actually originated in 1914 as part of a Morton Salt advertising campaign. And today it's used as an idiom. It's a term that is said to mean that when bad things happen, usually more bad things will happen at the same time. It's almost a superstitious worldview that misfortunes and difficult situations tend to follow each other in rapid succession, or they arrive all at the same time. Christians shouldn't see the world that way. Yes, we face storms, right? And there are times when it seems like the rain won't let up. And just to be clear, when I'm talking about storms and rain this morning, I mean metaphorically the storms of life, right? If you listen to Christian radio for a day, you know storms don't mean weather. The storms of life, sickness, injuries, job loss, the loss of a family member, divorce, struggles with mental health, whatever it is, we face storms in this life. And as we look today at Psalm 29, the hope is that you will be encouraged to face those storms, to face the unexpected, and that you will long to hear God's voice in those times, to be reminded of his sovereignty in all things, and that no matter what the circumstance is, that you will give him glory. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your presence among us today. You know that as a church, we are hurting, and there are things that we are going through that we seek you for strength and for peace and for comfort. And I pray that you would reveal your truth to us today through your word to give us the comfort and the peace that we need, that we may rest in you and in the promises that you have for us. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We'll get right into the text, Psalm 29. It begins with David saying, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." The word ascribe, the way that we might use it, means to assign or give credit to. But with God, it's not like he's owed some kind of glory that he does not already possess, because he's always in possession of glory. Recognizing his glory and strength is ascribing to him what he is due. Give him the honor that he is due. Worshiping him in song because of who he is. The angels, the heavenly beings, they give him glory alone because there is no one else worthy, no one greater to whom glory and honor must be given. Give him the glory due his name. Worship him in the splendor of his holiness. It reminds me of Revelation chapter 4. We see in Revelation 4, there are these four living creatures, these heavenly beings. And they are gathered around the throne. And day and night, they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was and is to come." And there are the 24 elders that fall down before the throne. And they keep saying, "Worthy are you to receive glory and honor and power." This is our model for worship. And that is the ultimate experience right there, that kind of worship. So David exhorts the heavenly beings to worship God in the splendor of his holiness, in his holy beauty, because there is nothing that can compare with God. He is pure. He is perfect. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of praise in all seasons, in all circumstances, in all occasions. And so what is the occasion for David to pen this psalm? Was it a victory over the Ammonites? Was it during a time of prosperity for the Israelites? As we read on, we see that the occasion seems to be a natural disaster. David has written Psalms before based on his observations of God's glory revealed through nature. We heard Psalm 8 prayed earlier in the service, and that was written in response to the vastness of the night sky. In Psalm 19, David compares the heat of the sun to God's glory, from which nothing is hidden. And so we can conclude that Psalm 29 is written based on David's observations of a storm. He's written these psalms based on his experience and his knowledge and his interaction with God's creation. So we have this storm here in Psalm 29. And as we look at the text, we see just how great this storm is. There's thunder, there's lightning. The earth is being shaken. There's powerful winds. There is a flood. It's a tropical storm. Trees are being destroyed. Animals are trembling. And we see the storm, it travels from Lebanon to and Syrian in verse 6, all the way down to the wilderness of Kadesh in verse 8. And you see on the map up there, we have Lebanon and Syrian at the top there, also known as Mount Hermon. And the storm makes its way all the way down to the wilderness of Kadesh. That's the entire length of Israel. That's about 200 miles. This is the land that God had promised to his people. And it's being ravaged. It's being demolished by this storm. And it seems like nothing is safe. That's 2020, right? All throughout the year, it just seems like things are getting worse. Some things are weird, but there are just things that keep happening. It just seems like it's getting worse. And our lives are being turned upside down. Wasn't supposed to be like this. All that we've been working towards, all that we've planned seems to be coming undone. The things that we've hoped for, the things that we've prayed about, it seems like we're not getting those answers. And in our world, there's so much tension. There's so much unrest. And there's so little hope, and there's hardly any sense of peace. And we think, when it rains, it pours. How can we possibly recover from this? But what is the source of this storm? What is directing it? David tells us in verse 3 that it is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is over many waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. And we see the voice of the Lord in the psalm described three ways. First, we see that the voice of the Lord is over many waters. And this conveys the truth that God is heard everywhere, and that he, the God of glory, is present there. Many waters, or maybe your translation says mighty waters or great waters. It's more than just a couple lakes or rivers. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But David likely has the Mediterranean Sea, the Great Sea, in mind here. Every so often, there's a type of hurricane-like tropical storm that originates in the Mediterranean, known as a medicane. Mediterranean hurricane, medicane. On a few rare occasions, some medicane storms have been observed to reach Category 1 hurricane strength. Actually, a year ago today, October 25th, 2019, there was a medicane that threatened Israel, and they were preparing for a medicane to touch land. And actually, last month, the middle of September, there was a medicane that devastated Greece. One news source reported a freak Mediterranean storm known as a medicane has ravaged Greek islands and even completely washed away entire beaches. The devastation has uprooted trees and severely flooded entire cities. So what David is observing here, I believe, is this type of a storm. But again, God is the source of the storm. And David hears no voice. He hears nothing else in the storm. Amidst the thunder and the lightning and the earth being shaken, he hears nothing other than the voice of the Lord in the storm. And that's important because, remember, David's writing during a time when there were people that saw occurrences in nature as being attributed to other gods. The Canaanites in this region, they considered this part of the sea to be the battleground between their gods. There was Yam, the god of the sea and the god of chaos, and there was Baal, the god of the thunderstorms, and they were fighting at the sea, and that's what was causing these storms. But David tells us that the God of glory thunders. The God of glory is over many waters. And it's a reminder to us that our God is superior. Our God is mightier. And our God sovereignly rules over natural and supernatural forces. Verse 4 tells us that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. His omnipresence is described in his voice being over many waters. And here we see his omnipotence, his omnipotence, his mighty power revealed by his voice. And just how powerful is the voice of God? Scripture tells us over and over again. A couple examples. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 10 that when God utters his voice, there is a tumult, which is a great rushing, loud waters that come from the heavens. Psalm 46 tells us that when God utters his voice, the earth melts. Genesis 1. We know that all that exists in the universe exists because God spoke it into existence. And that is not only evidence of his power, but of his majesty. David tells us thirdly that the voice of God is full of majesty. He is the King of kings, and so he speaks like a king. And when he speaks, all creation obeys the sound of his voice. The God of glory thunders and the earth trembles. The Lord Jesus, he commanded unclean spirits to leave the bodies they possessed, and they obeyed. Jesus calmed a storm simply by saying, "Peace, be still." The voice of God is more powerful and more glorious than the storm. Don't give glory to the storm. Don't see the pain and the suffering as the king, as the thing that rules your life. Don't give credit to the dark clouds and to the rain and to the forceful winds. All glory is due to him. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It tells us in verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. And the cedars of Lebanon, they're described in Isaiah 2 as being lofty. And we see cedars mentioned in scripture often. They're known for being tall and massive trees. And you see a Lebanon cedar there. They were the most remarkable in size and grandeur. And that picture doesn't really even do justice to how big that tree really is. But it doesn't matter because that's a matchstick compared to God, compared to the power of his voice. These huge trees that grew in Lebanon, it says that God makes even Lebanon itself, you see there, Mount Lebanon, that's huge. Those are cities there. It says God makes it to skip like a calf. The voice of the holy God is powerful enough to make the mountain tremble. And the storm tears off branches and uproots the loftiest trees. And they sway and they fall like a young calf that can barely learn how to balance itself on its own four legs. Even more, it says Mount Sarion, also known as Mount Hermon, a huge mountain over 10,000 feet above sea level. You can't even see the cities that are there. That's so huge. Scripture says the voice of God makes it to skip like a young wild ox, an untamed, untrained, timid animal. Some translations actually even say unicorn. I know, it's a first for me too. I've never heard unicorn mentioned in a sermon before. You know who likes unicorns is my 5-year-old daughter. It's not very intimidating. It's not something to be threatened by, compared to the power of the voice of God. What's interesting here is Mount Hermon is one of the mountains that's believed to be where the transfiguration of Jesus took place. Now that's not definitive, but if it's true, it's amazing to see here in Psalm 29, we have God displaying his power and his glory through his voice upon these mountains. And this is where the word of God made flesh displayed his power and glory later. And it invokes images of lightning. And we see in verse 7, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. I don't know what's in Hebrew, but that's good alliteration for English. And we see the power of the voice of God compared to lightning here. Now, the longest lightning bolt on record, I don't know how they measure these things, but they have some kind of way to do it. The longest lightning bolt on record is 200 miles long. Remember, that's the length of Israel, 200 miles long. And when you see lightning bolts, you can see how powerful they really are. And you see, that's modern day Israel, and that's a lightning bolt over Israel. That's powerful. But do you realize how powerful it is? One single lightning bolt can contain up to 1 billion volts of electricity. And it races downward from the bottom of the storm cloud to the earth. Guess how fast? 200,000 miles per hour. Yeah, that's impressive. It's just a glimpse of the power and glory of God. The voice of the Lord, it says in verse 8, shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Kadesh is an important location in Israel's history. Abraham had lived here following the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Israelites stayed here following their exodus from Egypt and wanderings through the desert. This is where Moses' sister Miriam was buried. And this is the location from which Moses sent 12 spies to the promised land. This is also where Moses struck the rock with Aaron's staff to produce water for the rebellious, complaining Israelites who disbelieved God's goodness. And water from a rock is nothing compared to what God can do here in Kadesh. The voice of the Lord is powerful enough to shake this vast wilderness. And so David takes us from the highest mountains. When we think of the transfiguration, the highest mountains where God's glory would be present, would be easy to see. Let us set up a tent for you, Lord. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. God's glory is evident there. And he takes us from these mountains to the wilderness where Israel once lost hope, to remind us to acknowledge the glory of God. God is present everywhere, and he should be glorified on the mountaintops and in the lowest valleys. His voice is powerful. Think to the cross. The Son of God, Matthew 27, it says that he cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And in that moment, the earth shook, the rocks were split, tombs opened, and the dead were raised. And the Roman guards that were there, they saw this happen and they proclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Even on the darkest day in history, when God the Son took our place on the cross and he became sin to bear the wrath of the righteous Father, even on the day when all hope seemed to be lost, God made his powerful voice heard and brought glory to himself. God's word is the source of our strength when it seems like there is no hope. The storm which inspired this psalm resulted in much destruction. But the storm is not stronger than our God. David begins the psalm again to remind the created beings to praise and worship the God to whom all glory and strength belongs. The strength and the glory is not the storm. We don't need to fear the storm. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. The Baal worshipers, again, they believed that Baal was the god of thunder. This was the god that they credited for the storm. So in 1 Kings, Elijah challenges 450 prophets of Baal to a contest on the altar of Mount Carmel to see whose god is really in control, who's really the God of Israel. And the challenge was that each would pray to their God and ask for fire to come down from heaven to burn their sacrifices. So the prophets of Baal, they did all kinds of things to summon Baal. They believed that he was the god of lightning. They believed that he was the thunder, that he was the lightning. So surely if he is the lightning, he's going to send down fire from heaven to burn the sacrifice. Baal did not show up. When it was Elijah's turn, he stacked all the odds against himself. He had the wood of the sacrifice drenched in water 3 times in the middle of a drought. So he's taking a huge risk here. And then he prays to God, and God delivers. Fire fell and consumed the offering. And then God also ended the drought that he brought upon the land, because God controls the storm. Sometime after this, 1 Kings 19, Elijah is at Mount Horeb. He's seen God work in this amazing way, and yet he believes that his life is in danger. So he flees to Mount Horeb, afraid for his life. And God tells him to go and stand on the mount before him. And it says the Lord passed by. First, there was a strong wind that tore the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces. The Lord was not in the wind. Then there was an earthquake. God was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Then Elijah heard the sound of a low whisper, the voice of God. God speaks calmly to his servant because God was in control in the midst of the wind and the fire and the earthquake. God was in control. And he provides peace to his people through his word when they need it most. God is not in the storm. God is not the thunder. He's not the lightning. He is controlling it. He is above it. The storms that we face are not these things that have a mind and a power of their own for us to try to control and withstand and navigate by our own will. God is in control of the storm. And the storm should remind us of God's glory. God is above the storm. God directs the storm. Psalm 29:10 tells us that the Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. He is in control. Even when you think about the greatest natural disaster in history, the worldwide flood, God was on his throne then, and he protected his people. He provided them with shelter and comfort. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to lose hope. We don't need to find shelter in anything greater than the God who saves. Remember that it was Jesus himself who calmed a storm. He and the disciples are on a boat out on the water, and there's a windstorm. And Jesus is sleeping at this time, and his disciples, they're terrified. And they wake up the master and they say, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" And the Lord calmly rebukes the wind and the sea. "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" God is in control of the storm, and he will provide peace and comfort in times of distress. Even when it seems like we are perishing, he will give us the peace that we long for. And that's why Jesus tells the storm to be calm, to be still, because he is in control of the storm. And in times of distress, when we're on the boat and the waves are pummeling us, God will give us strength. And David tells us in verse 11, "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." The mountains quake. The forests are stripped. Animals tremble. The wilderness is shaken. But not God's people. Why are we not shaken? Why do we not tremble? Why can we trust his strength? Because he is stronger than the storm. He is in control. Don't run from God. Don't for a minute think that God is not in control of the storm. Don't think that it's too much for him to handle. Seek strength in him. Find your peace in him, because he wants you to have that peace. He does not want you to be anxious. He does not want you to doubt his goodness. He wants to give you a peace that surpasses understanding. In Psalm 29:9, it says, "All these things declare the glory of God." All these wonders, the thunder, the crash of the trees upon the hills, the shaking of the wilderness, the leaves stripped from the trees and flying in every direction, they all proclaim the majesty and the glory of God. And so he is always worthy to be praised, worthy to be worshiped, because he is on the throne. And that is why in the midst of a storm, David wrote a song about the glory of God. And there are three truths that we see here that remind us of God's glory. That remind us of who he is, that should prompt us to glorify him in response. These truths, these responses that I want to leave you with today are to encourage you in the midst of the storms of life. And for those four or five of you who are out there looking for a pun, these are three truths to help you weather the storm. First, we see that God is speaking. When you are in a storm, know that God is speaking. Listen for his voice. Even in the storm, he calls us not to lose focus, but to observe his glory. Have peace and know that he is in control and he is with his people in the storm. And how do we know that? Because his word says so. God speaks to us through his word. Find peace and strength in him through scripture. There is no better place to turn in the midst of a storm than the word of God. It gives us peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says that he keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him, who listens for his voice. In the midst of a storm, David heard only the voice of God. Don't get lost in the rain. Don't focus on the lightning. Don't be shaken by the thunder. Listen to his voice. Listening and hearing his voice will produce faith, scripture tells us. And all throughout scripture, the Lord calls us to listen to those who have ears to hear. God speaks to us through scripture. Stay in his word. Let it speak to you in the storm so that you may know his peace and trust in his strength, because God is stronger. That is the next truth that we see here. God is stronger. So we must find our strength in him. We've all experienced, I'm sure, hurricanes. We're kind of in the middle or at the tail end of a hurricane season. We've known some powerful ones that have come through northeastern Pennsylvania. And you walk outside after a hurricane, right? And you see, it's a mess. The tree limbs are all over the place. Maybe one landed on your car. Maybe there was, you know, softball-sized hail that just dented your vehicle. Maybe you left your windows open and your garbage can is three blocks down. And there's a tree limb right in the middle of the road, so you can't get to the store to get your essentials, and the power's out, so everything in your freezer is defrosting. And it's like, wow, this is a mess, right? And that's what it's like in these storms of life. You think, why is everything such a mess? What happened to my life? You know, when our car breaks down and we have to get it repaired, and it was a little more than we anticipated, and we took a lot of money out of savings for that repair, and now we don't have money to pay our bills. We don't have enough hours at work to make the money to pay the bills. And we have a family member that needs to have surgery, and things just aren't going the way we planned it. And you think, how am I going to put the pieces back together? God is stronger. And our strength and our peace is in him. He is the source. And we will not be shaken. Look again at Revelation chapter 4. You see all these fantastic creatures here. No unicorns. But we do see in this picture of heaven that from the throne comes flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, similar to what we see in Psalm 29. Yet those who are in God's presence are not scared of these things. They do not seek to find safety and peace elsewhere, because they are in the presence of the one who gives them peace in the midst of the thunder and the lightning and the rumblings. And there is nothing that he cannot handle. There is nothing too hard for God, so we lean on him. And he will give us strength in the storm and to see beyond the storm. Find your strength in him. Because of his strength, he is worthy of that kind of worship that we see there in Revelation chapter 4. And that is our final truth. Because God is seated on the throne, we should worship him. worship him. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, and he reigns over all. And we see this picture of God's throne again in Revelation 7. We see there that there are those in his presence who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who have been redeemed in Christ. And they are before the throne, and he shelters them with his presence. He gives them peace, and they do not hunger, they do not thirst, and every tear is wiped from their eyes, because the Lamb is in the midst, and he is on the throne, and he will be their shepherd. And this is why we have strength and peace, and this is why we can worship. These are the saints that have come out of the tribulation, and they worship him because he is on the throne, and he has wiped every tear away. He has calmed every storm. And this is our eternity. So in every storm, we must have an eternal perspective. And when we fix our eyes of the one who is on the throne, we can worship him. Worship him, putting him above everything else and ascribing to him the glory and the honor that he is due. Worshiping him above everything else, because that helps us to focus on who is greater. Worship puts the storm, it puts the pain, it puts the shame, it puts the heartache, it puts the worry where it belongs, under the reign of the victorious King. Storms in life are tough. They're not small things. I don't want to make light of the things that you might be going through right now, because I know that it's hard and it takes time to recover, it takes time to heal. And I know that it might seem weird and awkward to worship right now. But worship God in the storm. Praise him in the pain, because he has won the victory. We worship him because he is still worthy of worship. We have hope today because he is on the throne. Christ offered up the ultimate sacrifice, and then he sat down at the right hand of God. Sin and death and the sorrows of this life that are the result of sin and death have been conquered in Christ's name. And because he is on the throne, we have victory in his name. When a storm shakes up your life, shakes up your family, it tears apart your country, rips through our church, no matter how much it seems like things can't be salvaged from that, remember that this is not the end. There is hope. A better day is coming for God's people. And we will be gathered around his throne to worship him forever. And it will be awesome. And even now, remember, he is on the throne. He reigns over everything. We'll go through storms in life. And they'll be loud, and they'll be dark, and they'll be scary. But if they're loud, that doesn't mean that he's silent. He is speaking. Listen to him. If they're dark, he is not powerless against the storm. He is stronger, and our strength is in him. And if they're scary, he's on the throne, and he is sovereign over every storm. So to those who are in Christ, when we experience storms in life, do not say, "When it rains, it pours." Because the eternal truth is that when it pours, he still reigns. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you that in everything you are present with us. You are there on the mountaintop, and you are there in the valleys. In every situation that we go through in life, you have not left us. There is hope that is found in you because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us, who bore your wrath so that we could glorify you for eternity in your presence. Comfort those who are hurting today. Give us the peace that surpasses all understanding to know that you are in control, that you are still worthy of worship, because of who you are. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.